Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 8, 2016. In turmoil, most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Do it right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find the updates with the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, email address, and our mailing address at our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And on that page, you'll find also it basically has the breaking news scrolling out of it. Some of it's directly related to Bible prophecy, I believe all is. But if you don't want a page with news, but just absolutely just the archives, try messiahsbranch.com. Also, check out branch.podomatic.com. All these sites are smartphone friendly. In fact, at branch.podomatic.com, they have an Apple app and an Android app. So, please, folks, when you after you hear these programs, I challenge you to share these programs with at least two or three other people. Remember, folks, prayer requests can be sent by USA Postal Service and email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to the Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you again by your request. We will not use your address to solicit you for any kind of donation. We are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, so pray about supporting radio airtime. On another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Bonn, Germany, Frankfurt, Germany, Soweto, South Africa, São Paulo, Brazil, Paris, France, Westminster, London, United Kingdom, Oslo, Norway, and, of course, cities in the United States, such as Denver, Colorado, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Portland, Oregon, Chandler, Arizona, Tampa, Florida, Toledo, Ohio, New Orleans, Louisiana, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs when they come to podcasts later on tonight. Now, a prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, please give this nation another chance to repent and heal so that Christians might have a safe place to be during these terrible times and so that we might be able to bless Israel so we would indeed be blessed, all to glorify you, Father. I also pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine, and give us all out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Paul Torbity. He is president and CEO of IBS, a major commercial real estate developer and investor in Newport Beach, California. He has owned numerous Christian radio stations, helped start several other radio and television stations, and is an active supporter of Israel. He served in the Korean War, where he was awarded a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star for valor. He has three children and eight grandchildren. Tonight, we will talk about God's time clock and a book called A Nation Born in a Day. Are you there with me, Paul?
We sure are. Boy, what a fine prayer.
Well, amen. It comes from my heart, you know.
Yeah, I definitely could feel it.
Yeah, amen. A nation born, you know, I just for the record, you know, it's kind of funny. I get so many people talking about different solutions, and it's a rarity that I get somebody that's biblically correct and says the solution for the Israeli problem is just to give it is to give them more land. Well, isn't that what God said to do?
That was his promise to Abraham. We heard a minister, Joyce and I, my wife, wonderful lady of God, and we heard a minister that we had a high regard for one Sunday morning. It's been several years ago, and he said, "Do you realize how large the grant was to Abraham and the land?" And of course, you know, being in the real estate business, land is always important. It's important to anybody and everybody. But he said, if you'd like to have a map, he said, I've got a map that shows the entirety of the land that God spoke to Abraham. If you read over in the first part, Genesis, it speaks about how large the land when God spoke to Abraham and told him, "Hey, Abraham, the land that you're looking at is your land, and it belongs to you. It belongs to your people and to your nation." And so when he started to elaborate a little bit on it, he said, "You know how big this land is?" And he said, "It's not just over there in the Mediterranean." He said, "It goes clear to the Euphrates River. You know how many countries that includes? That includes all of Jordan, Lebanon, a good portion of Syria, also Iraq, and a northern tip of Saudi Arabia. It's almost the size of the United States." I think very few people, and especially in our Christian world, understands and knows the magnitude of the promise that God gave to Abraham concerning the land. And
yeah.
And how, you know, I'm going to let you kind of interject and however you'd like to, you know, to question or bring up some points in it, but I think that if people will just listen and realize that how important this is, and the part that we play in this part is the prayer. It says, "God, you know, you promised this land." And why do we have all of this unrest over there? Why is these people fighting Israel? Why is so many people in the nations turning against Israel? Because it has to do with the land and how important this land is and what it will mean and the blessing that will bring upon our people if they will bring it before the Lord and say, "Lord, you bring this to pass in your way, in your time." And so that's kind of what we want to share with you people and make sure that you kind of understand. We also have a daily devotional in this book, and we're going to make this book available. It's free. We gladly send it to anybody that would like to have it. It gives the outline and all of the various promises and so forth. And we'd be more than glad to send it to anybody if they would like to have the book. Okay?
Amen. I for sure would like to have a copy. We might as well get that out of the way. Tell them how to find your website. I really like your website, by the way. But tell them what it is.
Well, it's of course we own real estate here in Orange County, and the website is IBS. That stands for Interstate Broadcasting Systems, but it's just IBS Holding, Holding, at cox.net. Or they can call our phone, and we'd be glad to take their calls, and we will send the book. The phone number is area code 949, and then it's 218-0565. That's our office number. And they will take your call very, personally, if you want to call, and we will send you a book. And this kind of the book kind of tells the overview of what this is about and what the land is. It's kind of a situation where right now, you know, the where Israel's at there on the Mediterranean, it's a very progressive nation. It's been blessed exceedingly, and I think that the promise needs to continue. I mean, most of this land that we're talking about that goes clear over there to that Euphrates is dormant. And another real wonderful example of this, it applies right here to our nation here in America. I don't know if you people are aware of the when we got the Louisiana Purchase. The Louisiana Purchase was one of the best and biggest blessings to America. You know, it was, they got wind that Napoleon, this actually belonged to France, and it eventually became 13 states, some of our best states, and industrial, and also, of course, that Mississippi River that is a very fertile river for the farming and so forth. But what happened was that he was having, you know, he needed money to carry on a war that he was carrying on with Britain and so forth. And so Thomas Jefferson was a very wise president, and he sent a delegation over there to France. And as a result, they bought that Louisiana territory that was, you know, just kind of a very, there was not much of anything on it. It was almost very similar to this area that we're talking about over there in those countries. And and so as a result, they were able to buy that Louisiana Purchase that I just mentioned. That the states that they are today, there's 13 states that I could give them to you here real quick. They're not only Louisiana, but they're also let's see if I can find them real quick here. They're actually they go clear up there to the Canadian border, and there are 13 of our wonderful states. There were one: Arkansas, Colorado, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Wyoming. This was all the area that covered that Louisiana territory. We were able to buy that land. But actually, that land is actually bigger than some of the countries over there in Europe today, and it was something very similar to the land that we're talking about, God promised Abraham, and here we are looking at a very similar situation, and how does this happen? I'm going to let you kind of. Gabe, ask some questions or whatever.
Okay, I was really fascinated and listened to you and brother. Anyway, I got you on here so the folks could hear your heart. They hear me gab all the time, so you were just fine. A couple of points though, I'd like to ask you about. You know, now you know you first bring up how big the land grant is. You know, right now at our mission congregation. You know, we're doing a study of Bible prophecy, and we're using maps, you know. We're using ancient maps. And I think if people would do something like that, they would be real surprised as a land grant and how some of these nations that are all up in arms right now are line up with what the Bible, you know, says they would be in this time. So, but a lot of people, Paul, a lot of people say that, well, you know, Israel isn't the same Israel. It's the same Israel, of course, isn't it?
Oh, it definitely is. No question about it. I think that goes down a pathway it doesn't really apply to what we're talking about, what God spoke to Abraham concerning. And,
right.
We're all aware of Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith. He's the one that when God told him to move, he moved. And he had a tent, and he just moved wherever the Lord told him to move. But he said one day, come out there, Abraham, and I want you to look up and look around. And to the north, the east, the west, and the south. And he said, everything you can see is going to be your land. And, you know, land is such an important thing. And you know, I believe with the technology, there's one of the, over in the southern part of Israel right now, they're in the process of developing one of the biggest tech centers over there. It's going to be a brand new city in Israel. And with that type of technology and so forth, you know, when this land becomes free and God's time and God's people saying and presenting it before the Lord, I believe that the development will be quick. It will be, it won't be like it has been, you know, because of the, you know, the lack of the development aspect, but it will go very quickly. We'll see that land become one of the choice places of the world. And the technology and the knowledge, and of course the king himself is coming back. That's where he's coming.
And amen. He's coming to Israel. That's what I keep telling people. He's not coming to set foot in the United States. You know, he's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. And
that's right.
That's the Mount of Olives over there. There's no Mount of Olives in the United States, is there, brother?
Yeah, but this land is part of that promise. And you know, it land is the thing. What has made America is this land, this beautiful land here in America, and here all the wonderful and beautiful places that have been developed, and of course the industries and so forth, and it's all of the miraculous part of God. And I think that this is what we need. I think it's probably one of the things that's holding up possibly the coming of the Lord until this is accomplished. And this is why the message is so important for people to hear it and to understand it. A lot of people I talk to, they were kind of shocked and surprised. I guess that when Joyce and I heard it at first, we were kind of surprised too, you know. We should have been more aware of it, but I think the Lord made us aware of it to where we could let other people know how important it is.
Amen.
And you know, the blessing that will come back to them as a result. I believe that there's a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. And that's a promise. And
yeah, so, amen.
And into our homes and to our people. And so it's a wonderful thing. And I think it'll inspire people. It'll encourage people. And you know what?
Israel, listen, if Israel was to be able to, now let's just do this for a minute. If Israel was able to actually extend their borders into these places that, you know, the promised land, and that's what people, you know, they talk about it all the time. You hear them say, well, I'm going to the promised land. They don't get it. That is the promised land. But the point is if they extended their boundaries to that, what would happen to the people living there? Would it be a better thing? Would it be a worse thing than they're experiencing?
A lot of the Arab people that are there in Israel, they're on the Mediterranean right now. A lot of them are employed, and they're actually in the Knesset over there, and they prosper. They do very well, and they have their education and everything has become outstanding, and so it's a wonderful thing to how they blended with Israel right there in the land of Israel. So there's a good example of how wonderful it has worked. Now, whatever's going to happen to those people now, you know, that's in God's choosing and however he wants to do it. But the land, what God was speaking was of this land that goes to that Euphrates, and it covers almost the size of the United States. That's huge.
Yeah, amen, amen. I know, and like I say, you know, folks were just, you know, so many folks nowadays, Paul, they spend a lot of time, you know, with just the New Testament, and they don't understand the richness of what's in the Old Testament, because You know, a lot of them just don't spend much time in it. Actually, a lot of people don't spend a lot of time in the New Testament. They're not. There's only about 3 to 10% of the people in the United States have actually read their Bible cover to cover, and that's just devastating.
Yeah, it is.
But if they did, they'd see. You would probably get rid of a huge lot of conflict if they would just read it and understand it, and they realize. Our responsibility as Christians to connect with our faith and the promises that were made to Abraham and Israel. Those covenants are important to us, aren't they?
Exactly. They are definitely connected with us, and that's we're branched into it. We're part of it. And that's why it's, you know, God answers his people ask and cry out to him. And that's why we're encouraging our people and your partners and listeners and so forth to be involved in what this is and say, Lord, I'm going to make a commitment to uphold Israel and this land. And how are you going to do it? Now, for me to come out and say, well, it's going to happen this way. No, we're going to let it be in God's hand, but he will answer. And one of these days it will happen. And you know what? We'll all rejoice together. We're going to rejoice together. And we're going to go. We're going to go to Israel, and we're going to see the king himself and be part of this great, great uniting. And there's going to be rejoicing in Israel. The scripture talks about that their days of mourning are going to be over with. And there's going to be joy on that land. And it's going to extend to all these borders. And, you know, we're going to...
Let me break in, because we're going to go to a break in about a minute. But first, I got a couple of questions I need to ask you. And then we'll come back and we'll talk. We'll have another about 30 minutes or 20 minutes, something like that. But you have a website called Israel's God's Time Clock, .com. Now, that's still a valid one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we have that to propagate and to let people know and how we connect with, or they can use our website, either one.
Okay, and your website, again, was ibsholding@cox.net?
At cox.net, that's right.
Okay, folks, either place you can connect up with them, you know, and they even gave a phone number, which I'll put in the podcast that you can get, to get this book. And the book is, the name of the book, tell them the name of the book, Paul.
A Nation Born in a Day.
A Nation Born in a Day. How could something like that happen unless it was a miracle?
Well,
Paul, I'm really enjoying this conversation, one of the better conversations, uplifting, that I've had in a while. And so we'll talk some more when we come back in 3 minutes, brother.
Okay, all right. I'm enjoying it, too.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for a work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And you know, tonight we're talking about Israel, and what a wonderful thing it is to back up Israel, and that it's such a blessing to bless Israel. But you know what? Not everybody feels that way. One of our biggest problems about fundraising in Israel, praise the Father, but funding in Wichita, Kansas, where our mission church is, and I've had it even told to me by somebody that works for a bank that's a big fundraiser, said the problem is, the reason we can't raise funds for you is because of that flag you have on the wall, and he pointed to an Israeli flag. And so Okay, well, amen. Folks like you that listen to us on the radio, you're the ones that support us, and you're the ones that bless us. And of course, it's the Father that puts it on your heart to do so, but it's only folks like you that listen to this program that has kept the Wichita Mission Church going for the last 17 years. Now, of course, the homeless and the poor. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're not talking about just the homeless, but we're also talking about we help the poor that come from all over the city. People who work part-time just to keep a roof over their family's head. They come looking for food, clothing, first aid, over-the-counter medications, blankets, Bibles, the gospel, and miracle prayers. So why do so many people come for us for help? Well, love, that's the answer. They're treated as family, and we give them relationships. We have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for what they need, and then if we have a way to fill it, we fill their need. If we don't, we try to pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. And folks, if you don't want to donate to the homeless or the poor, we'll pray about donating to radio because, again, you know, we're just a little mission church, you know, and we've been on radio at least at this station since 2004. But we don't sell anything, and we just rely on the Father to bring us donations. And, again, to stay on the radio, we have to pay airtime, we have to do equipment things, and so on and so forth. That all comes from your kind of donations because, you know, we're not independently wealthy. So you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Paul Torberty, and we're talking about God's time clock. Are you there with me, Paul?
Yes, I'm right here.
Well, why God's time clock for the people?
Well, it's always prophetic. It's and it's also in obedience to the word. I was just reading here in the book. It says how Isaac passed the blessing to Jacob in Genesis 27. God affirmed it to Moses in Exodus 23:31. That I will establish your borders. Now we're talking about borders from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean and from the desert to the Euphrates River. I will give into your hands the people. And we talked about the existing people there who live in the land, and you will drive them out before you. Joshua 1:4 says your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river to the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, until Abraham's descendants possess the land granted to them, there will not be peace. I believe and hope that peace will come soon and transform not just the Middle East but the world. Isaiah the prophet gave a moving prediction of the restoration of Israel. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. That's in Isaiah 54, 2 and 3. To enlarge the place of your tent. Now, you know, this has a dual meaning. It's not only spiritual, but it actually applies to us personally. To enlarge the place of your tent, it means to make room for an increase. Your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Means exactly what it says. Israel will take possession of these nations and develop a barren area. Now, the Louisiana Territory was a barren area. Thomas Jefferson sent out two scouts, and they went out to kind of survey the land. And they were out for, I don't know, a couple of years. They thought they were dead, that the probably the animals and so forth got to them. But they came back and told, you know, what had happened and what they saw and how the land was a wonderful land. All it needed to be and just needed to be inherited and not inherited, but to go in and cultivate it and make what it was. And of course, Thomas Jefferson, that's where we got homesteads and where they went in and farmers and industrialists and so forth went in and began to change the land. Now that's what we're wanting to see happen over there, is that this barren land will become a cultivated area, will become where it will be cities, there will be industries, there will be some of the best farming in the world will be there. The nations of the world will come to see the beauty and the development of this land. And now the corner for us is that we say, Lord, we're going to be part of your due diligence to bring this before you and hold it before you. In Psalms 105, 6, verse, O seed of Abraham, you children of Jacob, his chosen one, he's the Lord our God. His judgments in all the earth, he remembers his covenant forever. Does that mean he's forgetting his covenant? He said, no, it's forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. And he confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel an everlasting covenant, saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as allotment for your inheritance. This land grant which God speaks of repeatedly in the Bible is more than an ancient curiosity. I believe it is the key to understanding the future events and present responsibilities. We've got something really wonderful to look forward to. And I believe there's a blessing that will come on people if they will enter into it and become part of this great miracle that will happen. And once people look at it, well, it's the political, and it's this, and it's this, and it's this. You know what? What is bigger, God and his promise, or what's going on in some of these areas that we see today? I think that's something for us to really be aware of.
Yeah, amen. A few years ago, I had a rabbi on here, a Jewish rabbi, that was talking about his book, Prophecies in the Time of Muslim Terrorism. But I had him on for a couple of weeks because I kept trying to get some things out of him, what they thought about when Messiah would return. And believe me, Jews really make you dig it out of them, let me tell you what. Anyway, but finally I got him to say, what's the last thing that you expect that really, really needs to happen before Messiah comes, you know, before Mashiach comes? And he finally said he believed that the thing that wasn't fulfilled was that Israel has never yet come to the fullness of their riches. And I believe that. What do you think?
Oh, no question. I think that that's just right on the horizon. And that's why we just, as individuals and as Christians and as a body, we just need to hold this up before the Lord and say, Lord, you promised this, and we're going to stand. We're going to hold on to it. You know, and I think that that's where our place is at right now. And I think that this is, we're right on the verge of it. So close. And, you know, how many times do you hear people say, I've heard people say, oh, I could have done that, or I could have gone there, or I could have bought that, but I didn't do it. And, you know, there's always that regret. I could have, but I somehow didn't. You know, I think that we just ought to say, Lord, cleanse that out. Cleanse that regret out and not have any feeling, well, Lord, I'm too busy. I've got this going. I think this is probably one of the most important things. And you know what? The day will come when it does happen. And they'll say, Lord, I'm so glad. I'm so glad I was part of your command and your promises. And you're going to hear the Lord say, enter into the joys of the Lord. You know, that's going to be a wonderful day, isn't it?
Yes, amen. Amen. you know, so many people miss the fact that, you know, we didn't replace Israel. We were grafted into it.
That's
and
right.
By taking a hold of the richest blessings that they get, that's where our blessings come from. We haven't replaced them. And, you know, there is a lot of people that are starting to get back to it with the, you know, Hebrew roots movements and things, but even they don't quite get it, you know, that we're grafted in them, and then the blessing will come from there.
Well, I think there's God's part and there's our part, and we will enter into that part that God has asked us to do, and we'll be partakers of some things and blessings that goes beyond us. A great example of it is over in 2 Samuel about Obadiah. You know, remember when the ark was being brought back and the young man put his hand out to kind of steady the ark and it really, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzziah and for touching the ark. And he was smote dead. And David was, what, very afraid of the Lord at that time. How can the ark of the Lord come? So David was not willing to take the ark of the Lord. I'm reading this in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. And the ark of the Lord remained in the house. Now here's a very important thing. I just want everybody to really hear this. The 11th verse says, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obadiah, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obadiah and all of his household. Isn't that something?
Yeah, amen. Amen.
When that ark was there in his home, family, every one of them were blessed in ways that probably we were. I mean, it's just outstanding. But you know that can apply to families today. What do? We hold up this grant and this blessing that God wants to fulfill and hold it up. And you know what? That ark will be in our home. It'll be in our home. It'll bless our home, bless our children, bless our business, bless our churches, and everything that we touch. God's blessing will be upon it. You bring that, you know, we use the word entrepreneurial. Entrepreneurial, is that a word that everybody knows what it means? The word entrepreneurial means that there's things that are created and brought into being. And I think that that's a spirit that can take hold of our people, that they become entrepreneurs, they become people that create and do things that are not just humdrum. But it's really a wonderful thing. You know, they can start a business, and God will bless that business. They can go out and they can go to schools and colleges or whatever. They become the top in the class and so forth. And why? Because of God's blessing upon them.
Yeah, amen. Brother, there's something I really want to ask you about. You know, first off, I want to thank you so much for your service as a veteran. But is there anything that you could tell the folks? I mean, you know, you're a veteran from the Korean War. Did you learn something from your experience that you would maybe want to share with others?
Well, you know, one of the things is never think, well, you know, I'm just not important, and it's not really something that God is looking down at. I think God looks down on his people, and if we'll just take a spirit of faith, faith reaches out, and you know what? It could be you go out and start a business, or you go out and do something that has something that probably they're not quite have ever done before. I know in our experience we started off and the very first house that we ever built, I didn't they didn't have a grading ordinance, and so we didn't grade the lot before we built, and I'd never really, we'd worked in some of the buildings and I'd gone to trade schools and so forth, and the Lord had really put me in that business. Now, you know, I would have never chosen it, But he did. He just kind of put me into it. And I remember we had this one lot, and we started in with it. And so I thought, oh, we went out there. We were working another job. You know, it's always, you know, just to be industrious. And Joyce and I were both working on another job and so forth. And so then at night we go out there to see how this job was coming along. Well, they had put the forms up. Well, I looked and I said, oh, no. And I thought, oh, boy, look at the concrete that's going to have to go into this house. And these forms are so far off. And we hadn't graded this lot. And so I watched Joyce's dad. And he was a contractor, been a contractor for years. And he used to take big old stones and drop them in footings and so forth. And Joyce and I, there was a riverbed behind. We got these big old rocks, and we dropped them in these forms and so forth. And we thought, well, you know, that'll help. Well, it was the next day the concrete company came out and started pouring the concrete. And finally, the foreman called me and said, hey, young man, do you realize how much concrete you got in this house? I said, no. He said, you've got enough concrete in there for three houses. And, you know, I thought, oh, boy, that's the end of it. You know, how can we ever make this house, you know, it wasn't a house where you get it, where it was going to be just a kind of a normal house is all it was. But I remember, you know what Joyce and I did? We joined hands. We said, Lord, you know, this is the beginning. It doesn't look too bright. But could you help us through it? You know what? Somehow we made some savings on lumber, and I don't know, putting it together. Different ones would come along and help us with the framing and so forth. We built that house. And you know what? Before that house was ever done, it was sold. A party came along. I told them what a great foundation it had.
Right.
But I'm just telling that as a beginning of an example. And you know what? That was the very beginning. How, sure, in the natural, we could have just walked away. But we stopped and we said, Lord, we commit this to you. It's our beginning. And you know what? It became a blessing. It became the key to why we're in the building business today. I mean, that's the cornerstone, that how you start and you stay with something, and then when it doesn't look like it, you and your wife or your children or your whatever, you join hands and say, Lord, you cause you a blessing. It doesn't look like it, but you bring about a blessing. And you know what? That's the way to do it. And it'll work every time. Right.
Amen. Well, Paul, I want to ask you another question. I'm kind of curious. You know, I've been married 31 years. How long have you been married, brother?
About a little over 50 years.
50 years.
Really? Yeah, I met Joyce out of Southern California Bible College. And
really?
I always thought I'd meet my wife at a Bible college. Sure enough, that's where I met her. And we were married out there. And that college is still there. And
Amen.
And well, we have three children.
You know why that? So many young people, I see them go from one relationship to another nowadays, you know. I don't know how to explain to them, but it's so important to have just your...
Well, you couldn't have said it any better. That's exactly right. You know, he was the head of the... Lee Braxton, he was the head of the... the admissions and the board of directors for Oral Roberts University. He was a wonderful man, and I was the chairman of our conventions for the for gospel businessmen. And Lee would come, and every once in a while I'd take him off to lunch and so forth, and we'd sit and chit-chat and so forth. And one day he says, hey, Paul. Or maybe I asked him, I said, Lee, what do you see as one of the most important things for young people? You know what came from him? He said, marry right. Now, a lot of young people don't maybe understand that. They just think it's infatuation or all. But I think if you commit your life to the Lord you say, Lord, I'm gonna marry right. I'm gonna have the right partner in my life, and that's how important it is. And I think if young people would really hear this, and I think to home the parents to see how important it is that they marry right. And that's what Lee Braxton, one of the heads of Oral Roberts University, told me. And of course, we've had two of our children that went there to Oral Roberts University. But I mean, the thing of it is that was the thing that he saw. And we've impressed that on our children, and how important it is for young people today to say, Lord, my life is dedicated to you, and bring the right partner to me, so that, we have a lasting marriage and we can agree together when times are good or times that we've got things that we need help with, we join together in prayer and say, Lord, we just need your guidance and direction. And there's that power, that strength that comes. It's like a three-strand cord that holds things together and holds families together.
Right.
It holds children and churches and your station and so forth, and the contributors, right, and all. It all ties together, and it ties together in the home, and how important the home and the marriage is. So I could have a big encouragement for you in this area, and how you can encourage your people in the area of marriage. Yes, very, very good.
Amen. I see that's a big problem with our country right now is so many children without both a dad and a mom and broken marriages and stuff, and so. We just don't get to give our hands on, they just don't get that hands-on love and the right things that they need, because that's God, just like Israel, a man and a woman, become as one. We are grafted in Israel, we became as one with Israel, but the point is that becoming as one is so important in his equation that they're just missing out on.
Yeah, it sure is, but I think the enemy would try to say, oh, well, there's nothing to it, and you just go out with whoever you want, blah, blah, blah. No, I think it's something that's very important to commit to the Lord and say, Lord, my life is committed to you, and you're going to bring the right mate into my life to where we join together. And our children's children, that's what God says, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your children, and to as many as the Lord our God calls. And that's how important it is. And that's where the joy comes in, not the other stuff where, you go off with somebody else. And I talked to a lawyer one day about it, and he said, a lot of times these people think they can find somebody else or want to find somebody better. Hey, you know what? That goes down the loser line is what it does. We don't need any more
absolutely
winners.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Paul, we've really run out of time. You've been a real joy to have on. Why don't you tell the people how to contact you again?
Okay. They can call me at area code 949-218-0565. Or they can go online at IBS Holding. That's initials, IBS Holding, Holding, at cox.net. And request the book. We will send to it. We'll send it free of charge. We'd love to have it. It's A Nation Born in a Day. And it also has the daily devotion in there, how you can hold up Israel and the land. And you're going to become a part of one of the greatest things that will happen when this happens. And in the world today, they think it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen.
Amen. And brother, you've been a real blessing to have on. Maybe we'll talk again, but we got to go right now.
We'd love to. I want to say how much we enjoyed Don Otis. Don Otis is the one that set this up, and he's at us on maybe 600 radio stations.
Really?
Yeah, he's wonderful.
He's a pretty good guy. He's a blessing.
Oh, anyway, yeah, we knew his father, George, and he had a high adventure. And
really?
And I found out about one of the book writers told me about Don, and he's been the one that's that's set us up on these stations. So we appreciate Don Otis, too.
Okay, well, we got to go. You're a blessing. We got to go, but we'll
talk
again.
Look forward to it again. Okay.
All right. Be blessed. Well, folks, IsraelGodsTimeClock.com. 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 Or you can get him at 949-218-0565. You get the book for free. He said call him up, talk to him, and that's Paul. Tell him that you heard it on our radio program. And anyway, tell him you heard it on prophecyhour.com. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. And remember, folks, the feasts are coming up next week. We're going to do a special program on the Sabbath and the feast next week. So make sure that you stay tuned in. It will be beautiful. And remember, always, always, always remember the poor. You need to remember the poor, especially on the feast time. And pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father, that you would bless them, and that you would shine their face upon them, and would be gracious to them, and give them peace, Father, like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.